G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, have a look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Are we recording, Andrew? All right. Awesome. So we've been talking about developing a sensitive heart, and we've had a couple of parts so far. This is part 3, where we're going to be talking today about the symptoms of a hardened heart. But let me just recap a couple of things, and then we're going to move on from there. And so a sensitive heart, we said, is a heart that's tuned into God. It's a heart that's learned to trust God first and foremost, a heart that's learning to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit in every situation. And we've certainly had some examples of that this morning, haven't we? You know, Andrew was tuning in to the voice of the Holy Spirit and God was showing him some things. We saw some people receive healing. Even Joel and the story that he was sharing was an example of having a sensitive heart, tuning in, learning. And that's what a sensitive heart is. You know, it doesn't mean you've arrived, but you're learning to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit and learning to obey that. Notice even in what Joel was sharing, you know, there would have been, he was arguing a little bit with himself, like, oh, really? I don't know. What sort of card do I get? And what's it going to look like and stuff? If we're going to have a sensitive heart, we've got to get out of that reasoning. Stop arguing with God, just do what he says. Even with Andrew, you know, when you get a word of knowledge, it's not like you've got visions of angels and stuff like that. Sometimes it's just a faint, still, small voice. Oftentimes it's like that. Oftentimes it's just an impression. And you've got to step out in faith. It's like, oh, wow, you know, was that God? Was that me? And stuff. But the more you read the word, the more you fellowship with the Lord, the more you'll start to recognize it. And at some point, you've got to start stepping out and actually doing it. You're going to make mistakes. There's no baby that's learnt to walk that never ever fell. Hey, they've fallen many, many times, but they keep getting up. And as children of God, when we move into something new, okay, we're going to make some mistakes. That's all right. We can just get up, dust ourselves off, and move forward. Amen? So we've been looking at that. A sensitive heart, then, is a heart that's learnt to put the word first, regardless of how ridiculous it looks or what others may think about it. We also looked at how an insensitive heart, and that was last week, and an insensitive heart is a hardened heart. It's a heart that fails to perceive what God is saying about a situation. You've got a hardened heart. When you're in a certain situation and you can't see what God's doing, you can't hear his voice, you don't understand what's going on, you don't know what you're supposed to do. And having a hardened heart doesn't mean that you're a criminal or you're a horrible person. The disciples had a hardened heart. And we're going to reread the scripture we looked at last week where it shows that they had a hardened heart. These were people that Jesus picked to be part of his 12. These are the people that spearheaded a movement that was so great that people said they turned the world upside down. Yet they had hardness of heart in certain areas. And you and I can as well. And it's important that we're open to be able to identify what those areas are. And so a hardened heart is when you find it, when you're finding it really difficult to know what God wants you to do in a certain situation. There's confusion there. Let me just clarify too. Sometimes you can be in a situation where you don't know what you're supposed to do, but it's not necessarily because of a hardened heart. Sometimes God will give you like a holy agitation or a restlessness because he's preparing you for something new. Hey, and, Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, they got dreams and that made them restless and agitated. They couldn't shake it off. They didn't understand what it was all about, but they knew that it was something significant. And then there was a man of God in both situations that were able to come and explain what the dream was, and it was something from God. And so, you know, I know even in our in our own life. You know, like when I was a chaplain, there was a time I served as a chaplain for about, well, I served for almost 14 years, but there was a time probably about 10 years into the job, and I started to get a holy restlessness and agitation. And I knew that my time for chaplaincy was then limited. I knew that it was coming to a close. But you don't go and act on that straight away. You just keep seeking God. It was a few years still, you know, and every year a restlessness increased. And just seeking God, God, what do you want me to do with this? And there were a lot of things he wanted us to learn and to understand and recognize. Then finally, that agitation bore the fruit of that was then finally God did speak to us and say, okay, it's time for you to move. You find that with even with yourself, you know. You can be in a job and you love that job and you do it really well, and then all of a sudden there's an agitation. And then you seek God about it. And he'll begin to talk to you about it. It could be something that you really, really enjoy as well. And then all of a sudden it's like that love for it starts to ebb. And it's because God's doing something and he wants to take you to another place, a new chapter. And don't act on those things until you're certain that you've heard from God, hey? So anyway, we talked also about how hardness of heart develops in the shadows of your strength. The hardness of heart will cause you to become spiritually deaf, and it'll also cause you to become spiritually blind. Now, there was a story that we looked at last week, and I want to just recap on that and then move on from there. So Mark chapter 6, verse 45, give me an oi when you're there. It says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. And that word straining is literally torture. They were tormented and tortured in pain. They were toiling. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Sorry, I lost my place there. Yep, there he is. And he would have passed them by, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. You know, the disciples were greatly amazed when they'd been rowing all night, straining, toiling, tormented, tortured, trying to get across this lake. They didn't even want to go in the boat. The scripture says he constrained them. He insisted that they get in the boat and they go. I think some of them knew enough about weather situations to think this is not a good night for us to be going across the lake. But he insisted. And so here they are, you know, hours later, and they're not even halfway there. They're only a few miles in. I'm sure some of them are thinking, like, where is he? You know, like, it's his idea, and here we are, and we're getting nowhere. And then finally, he appears walking on the water. They're thinking it's a ghost. They're trying to row as hard as they can to get away from it. Jesus then assures them and says, it's me, don't be afraid. Peter walks on the water. That's in Matthew, you can read about that, but it's the same passage of Scripture. And then finally, when Jesus gets in the boat, immediately the wind and the waves cease. And not only that, but in John's version of this same story, that didn't just cease, they found themselves on the other side of the lake. They were there. Is it any wonder that they marveled? Is it any wonder that they were astounded? In the Message translation, it says they were stunned, shaking their heads, wondering what was going on. The Amplified Bible says they were astonished exceedingly beyond measure. God's Word translation says the disciples were astounded. The Lexington English Bible says they were extraordinarily astounded within themselves. And I related for a long time with that until one day it came to my attention. The next verse says the only reason they were astounded is because their hearts were hardened. In other words, they shouldn't have been astounded. They shouldn't have been astonished. They shouldn't have been marveling. And the reason they were astounded and marveling and astonished is because they had forgotten. They did not understand the miracle of the loaves. It's an important lesson for you and I. We should not be astonished and marveling at God's desire to use us to cause the supernatural to manifest. He wants to use you as an extension of the kingdom of God, to minister to your family, to minister to your work associates, your neighbours. And we shouldn't be in a place where, when someone gets healed or someone receives something because we've prayed, it's like, oh, wow, it worked. Reminds me of this story, this girl that was part of a team, and they went to the Caribbean and they were ministering on the street, and this guy came past and he had a cast on his arm. And she was, she and her team were talking about how, offering to pray and saying God will do anything. And this guy said, well, can you heal my broken arm? And this girl said, yep. And he said, all right, go on, pray for it. So she prayed and he got healed and she fainted. There's something wrong with that picture. We shouldn't be a people. And when we're astounded and we marvel and it's like, oh, wow, that really worked. Wow, it indicates there's a hardness of heart in our area. In that area, in our lives. And so hardness of heart will prevent you from considering the God factor in your life, eh? The disciples were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and they marveled because they hadn't understood the significance of the miracle they'd seen. They had seen a miracle just earlier where 5,000 people, 5,000 men besides women and children were fed with a little boy's lunch. And that was just immediately after them having several weeks where they went out and ministered in pairs. Coming back and they'd reported to Jesus all the miracles they'd seen. How many times has God answered a prayer in your life? And where is that now? And how does that sit in your life? If you're not thinking about what God's already done, you can easily harden your heart and then you get a new circumstance arise and forgotten all about, just like the disciples. Jesus insisted they get in the boat and go to the other side because he wanted them to experience a storm so that they could use what they'd learned that day, that nothing's impossible. They should have known that. They'd traveled with him for over a year. They should have known when Jesus tells us to do something, we can do it. He told us to go in pairs and we did it and we saw people healed. We saw demons cast out. We saw amazing miracles. Jesus told us to feed the multitude. We didn't know what to do, but he told us to do it, and then he helped us, and we ended up doing it. They should have learned from that now he's told us to cross the lake so we can do this. And instead of getting into self-effort, they should have taken authority over that storm. I want you to have a look at that verse 52 in Mark chapter 6. It says, "For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened." The King James Version says, "For they considered not." Everyone say, "considered not." "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." I know Andrew Warmick has got this phrase, and if you're a note taker, you can write this down. This has helped me immensely in my life. I cannot tell you the dozens of situations, and certain, well, it's probably hundreds, I think, more than dozens, of times that I have used this to great benefit. And it comes out of this scripture, and this is the phrase that he said, "Whatever you consider, you will become sensitive to. And whatever you neglect, you will become hardened to." Whatever you consider, you will become sensitive to, and whatever you neglect, you will become hardened to. The scripture says they had not considered the miracle of the loaves, and so their heart became hard. When you don't consider the things God has done for you, your heart will become hardened in that area, and you're not making room for the supernatural in your life anymore. Because whatever you consider, you will become sensitive to. But if you neglect things, you'll become hard. And you can use that in a positive way or in a negative way. You can use it in a multitude of ways. I'll give you some examples. Let's think about, say, sports. Whether it's engaging in a sport, playing a sport, watching a sport, whatever you consider, you will become sensitive to. You can play a certain sport, and you may not be good at it, but if you keep playing it and playing it and playing it, you will be, not only will you get good at it, but you'll become sensitive to that. And it will be something that when somebody mentions, you hear that sport mentioned, and you're just like, what are they talking about? I want to go. And you want to listen. Whether it's to do with sport or any other area, whatever you consider, you become sensitive to. Whatever you neglect, you become hardened to. I've only played golf a handful of times, and I find it really frustrating because I neglect that. It's not a big part of my life. I don't need to have it as a big part of my life. But when I was a chaplain, we used to have these golf days where we would invite all these business people and professionals to come, and many of them loved to play golf. And so because I was the chaplain, I would be put, you know, like with these business people to play. I don't know a thing about golf. And whatever you neglect, you're hardened to. So I've got no idea. My ball keeps going in the water. They gave me three balls, and I used them up within the first couple of holes. And I'd run out. And so I said to them, oh, look, I'll just get in the buggy. I've got to go get some more balls. They put me with these three high-flying lawyers. Like, they all had their own practices with multiple staff. I mean, anyway, and one of them said, no, you don't have to go. He said, you've run out, have you? And I said, yep. And he said, look. And he had like a bag of about 50 of them. He goes, here. He goes, take as many as you need. I think he regretted that towards the end, didn't he? Because I was helping myself. It was like lollies or chips, you know. I just kept hitting it in the water. I think my faith eventually just got operated in that area because I just kept seeing the water. And it kept. There was this one time we were teeing off and I had to go straight down there. And parallel to it was a man-made like water, you know, sort of body of water going along the green. I'm thinking, oh great, I've lost so many balls and now this thing's going along the same direction I've got to hit. So I thought, I'm not going to aim there, I'm going to aim there, so that way I can be sure that I missed that. So I hit it, and it hit a tree and it went in there. The three blokes were silent. And finally, the guy who offered me the bag of balls, he said that's amazing. They had nothing to say, neither did I. But you know, like, I wasn't good at golf because I'd neglected it and didn't really impress me. In fact, I didn't enjoy, my experience wasn't enjoyable because I'd neglected it, and so I hardened towards it. But there are some people you could just mention golf and their eyes light up. There's some people where you could talk about cricket or footy and their eyes light up. They can tell you all the stats of their team and who the top players are and what they're like. And you could even mention a match like in 1983 and they'll go, yep, the weather was rain on that day and this was the score. And whatever you consider, you will soften your heart and you'll become sensitive to. Whatever you neglect, you will become hardened towards it. The same with work. How do you consider your work? What do you think about it? You can become sensitive to it or you can become hardened to it. Some people are so hooked on getting approval or recognition, they keep thinking about ways that they can get approval or get slapped on the back. And they become sensitive to that. And soon they lose focus on who they really are. They lose their identity. Because all they're interested in is just getting that acceptance, that approval. And they've got no personal boundaries. And so you can see that this thing is, you know, it can work for you or against you. I remember there was a period of time in my life where, like, I'm an early riser, unlike Andrew. I am an early riser. I don't mind getting up early in the morning. But I remember there was this one time a few years ago where it was just, we had this really cold winter and I like to rise early in the morning and the alarm went and I hit snooze. And then the next day I hit snooze. And then the next day I hit snooze. And you know, after a few days, I stopped hearing the alarm. Because whatever you neglect, you harden your heart to. I know some people, it's like they can't hear their alarm, so they put it on the most revolting sound that they can find online and have their alarm the other side of the room, so they have to get out of their bed and go and slam that thing. I remember, you know, when we were we used to live on Logan Road. This is years ago. We used to live on Logan Road in Mount Gravatt. Man, that was a busy road. And yet we never noticed the traffic after about 6 months, just until we moved. And we moved into Daisy Hill. And it was just like, it was eerily quiet. And, you know, like after a few days, I thought, man, I feel so relaxed. What is going on? And then I realized, wow, that constant noise of traffic that was always there, it's absent now. It's missing. But see, I just neglected. I just didn't pay attention to that. And my heart became hardened towards it. I remember Andrew Warmick talking about how, like, when he would sleep, like, he just believed God for sleep. And so when he would sleep, He would not expect to be woken up by anything. And he was serving in Vietnam, in the army. And in the morning he got up, and one of the guys came to him and said, "Man, that was so close last night." And he said to him, "What was so close?" And he said, "What do you mean? Didn't you hear it?" And he said, "No." And what had happened is there was a United States helicopter that wanted to go and do some target practice. So they asked on the radio for the coordinates of somewhere where there were no men so they could go and do some target practice. So they were given coordinates of Andrew and his troops' bunker. And so this helicopter, 50 caliber rounds, was shooting it at this bunker, and everybody is scrambling for their lives, and Andrew's just sleeping through it all. And they said, what do you mean? And then he had a look, and there was this bullet that had come through the roof, through the top bunk above him, had gone and touched the edge of his bed and buried itself. He pulled the floorboards out. He tried to dig it out. He never could get at the bullet. And yet they were making holes like that. But he had just neglected, he had just chosen, that's it. When I sleep, no one's going to wake me up. And so he'd become hardened to that. Whatever you consider, you'll become sensitive to. Whatever you neglect, you become hardened to. Same with me. If I'm focusing on something, I can just block almost anything out and just get focused on it, much to Joy's frustration. Sometimes she'll come up to me to the office. She goes, "I've been calling you. Where?" And I said, "What?" You know, because I'll be reading the word or I'll be doing something and I'm just so focused on it. It's not like I'm deliberately trying to not pay attention, but you can soften your heart to things, hey? And you can soften your heart to the things of God. You can soften it so much. It's just like, you know what? I don't care. You know, like some people, they're more sensitive to what the medical professionals have to say than what God has to say. See, whatever you consider, you become sensitive to. Yeah, but the doctors said that I'll never walk again. Yeah, but God didn't say that, did he? See, we need to be a people who become sensitive to what God has to say and hardened and neglectful to anybody that says anything different. It could be that you've got a dream about your family or your future. And maybe you share that with some people who make fun of it. Well, neglect what they're saying and start giving attention to what God's saying. Soften your heart towards that. And you find that you become sensitive to that dream. You become sensitive and you become hardened towards people that speak the opposite. Hey, now this is such an important principle. Hey, and you can use this I certainly have in my own life. But considering something is not just mere mental acknowledgement. You might know in your head that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "By his wounds you were healed." You might know that in your head. That doesn't mean that you really believe it in your heart. Hey, considering something means you take the time to ponder it, to meditate on it, to think about it. I remember when Joy was desperately ill and God had given me a word, and it was Psalm 18, verse 30, and it says, "As for the Lord, his ways are perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield to all who put their trust in him." And I'd been seeking him for a word, and he gave me this word, and I read it, and I thought, "Oh, is that it? God, I thought you were going to give me something really amazing." You know, like, okay, thanks. And I didn't think much of it. And every time I'd just talk to God, and I'd say, "God, you know, like, show me what's going on in this." And he would remind me of that scripture. So I'd go back, and I'd read it again. And I'd, "Yeah, okay, your ways are perfect. Your word's flawless, your shield of word." And I didn't, but the more I considered it, the more my heart began to soften towards it. And the more it began to excite me. I thought, "Your ways are perfect. And we're going your way. Your word is flawless. And we're putting your word into practice. We can't lose. We cannot lose because your ways are perfect and your word is flawless." The more I considered it, the more my heart became sensitive to it and the more excited. And soon, that thing grew in me until, you know, and I know Joy had received different words and she would be meditating on that. By the time we got to the hospital and the doctors were declaring a death sentence, it was just like water off a duck's back. Because we weren't sensitive to what they were saying, we were sensitive to what God was saying. We were hardened to them because what they were saying was so opposite. But it's not going to come if you just decide to read it once in a while and say, oh yeah, I know that. You're going to have to invest some time. And we live in a microwave society. It's like, well, how long? 2 minutes? Really? Can't we just kind of read it and that's it? We've got to get out of this microwave push-button mentality. Amen? I just caught up with a good mate of mine. He's going to come and preach in a few weeks' time. God's been opening up some doors for him in Southeast Asia and in India. And he's seeing some great things happen, some miraculous stuff happening. But, you know, he said to me, you know, we just caught up during the week, and he said, you know, it's not a surprise, though. He said, these people are receiving such extraordinary miracles. He said, sometimes they're walking for hours to get here. Sometimes they're just sleeping outside wherever they can find because they don't want to go home. They just want to stay for the next meeting. And yet we live in a society that's like, where is it? Oh, Underwood. Oh, that'll take me. That's a fair way, Underwood. Logan home. And then we wonder. Maybe we've become neglectful and hardened towards certain things. Hallelujah. Have a look at Mark chapter 8. I want to point out some symptoms of a hardened heart to you. Mark chapter 8, verse 1. Give me an oi when you're there. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? Isn't that amazing? Just a chapter and a bit earlier, he had fed 5,000. There's only 4,000 here this day. He had fed 5,000 men besides women and children. And now here, it's almost the same scenario and they've forgotten. And this is going to come very much into it where Jesus is going to have some words for them. But anyway, verse 4, then he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And so he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. There's another one. I'm not sure if it's Matthew. His account says it was 4,000 men besides women and children. Now verse 10, immediately he got into a boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. This is something that just makes me shake my head as well. Oftentimes the Pharisees would come and ask him for a sign just after he had done a most amazing miracle. In Matthew, there was a time where he'd just cast out demons out of someone. And they came and they said, give us a sign. And what was that? The guy was mute or something, and then he was able to speak. And here he'd just fed a multitude. Obviously, they'd heard about him and all the miracles that had followed him and stuff. And he comes to this town and they said, give us a sign. Come on. Show us who you really are. Isn't it interesting Jesus never ever responded to that? I mean, have you ever wondered, you know, why didn't he? Why didn't he just say, yeah, all right, I'll show you. Why didn't he just roll up his sleeves? Bring me some blind people. Bring me some deaf people. Come on, I'll show you. In fact, he would often do the very opposite. There are times, I think it's in Mark chapter 7 or even Mark chapter 8, there were times where he would meet people who needed a healing and he would take them out of the town. Why didn't he just heal them there? Do you realize when you're ministering healing, sometimes there can be an atmosphere of unbelief and you may not be able to minister. You may need to get them away from those people. If Jesus had to do it and he was the most proficient healer in all of history, then don't think that you're an exemption. And then don't wonder, like, why didn't it work? Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're talking about developing a sensitive heart, is that right? Be sensitive to that. Anyway, I'm going off a little bit. But the Pharisees were asking for a sign, and verse 12, he sighed deeply in his spirit and he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And so he left them and getting into the boat again, departing to the other side, and the disciples had forgotten to take bread and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now he'd said that because they just had this confrontation. The Pharisees had just come to him and the scripture says they disputed with him and challenged him to give them a sign. And because of that, as they're getting in the boat, Jesus is instructing his team. He says, guys, watch out. These guys seem to teach stuff, but there's a leaven there that'll just spread into all your life and disease everything. It'll just stain it. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. But these guys, verse 16, it says, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've got no bread. That's why he's saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Man, meatheads, eh? Just meatheads. The Bible says, to be carnally minded is death. Carnal comes from the, I think it's from Spanish or Latin, carne, meaning meat. Carnally minded is a meathead. But to be spiritually minded, the Bible says, is life and peace. It's in Romans chapter 8. Spirit is the word pneuma, means breath or air. God wants you to be an airhead, not a meathead. Hey. Verse 17, but Jesus being aware, he's hearing them saying, oh, because we bought no bread, that's why he's saying, watch out for the leaven. Jesus being aware of it said to them, why do you reason because you've got no bread? Do you not perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? And in this passage where Jesus is chastising the disciples, he reveals to us the symptoms of a hardened heart. There are many symptoms that he talks about there. I'm only going to talk about a couple of them, but I'll just show you some of those things. Verse 17, why do you reason? Reasoning, getting into your own logical thinking, trying to reason it out. Joel was tempted to do that when God was talking to him about getting that card. Yeah, God, this is a bit awkward. I don't know what sort of card and stuff. And if you're not careful, thank goodness that he was able to distinguish this is God and put the arguments aside, I'm just going to do this. But reasoning and staying in your logical mind, yeah, I know God's telling me to do this, but what if this happens? Or what if nothing happens? Or what if that happens? And you soon you just get into the natural. What if Andrew decided, oh, no, I'm not going to do it because I don't know if that's really God or not. We wouldn't have been blessed this morning seeing the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Having a sensitive heart means that you're going to avoid dwelling in reasoning. Now listen, God's given you a mind, you use it. But the scripture says trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Use your understanding, but submit it to the authority of Christ. God, look, you know, if I do that, this is what's going to happen. But Lord, if it's really you, just witness it to me and I'll do it. Let's learn to be a people like that who are developing a sensitive heart and who are heart-led rather than head-led. Other symptoms that he talks about, he says, why do you reason because you've got no bread? Do you not perceive nor understand? Perceive. We've talked about that. A hardened heart is someone who cannot perceive what God's doing. When you find it difficult to, God, what are you doing in this situation? I just don't understand. I'm confused. They're symptoms of a hardened heart. That word understand there in verse 17, when he says, do you not perceive nor understand? That's a wonderful word in the Greek. It's sunni aimi. And it means literally to join the dots, to put it together. He's really saying, haven't you joined the dots yet? I used to love doing join the dots. Hey, see all these dots on the page, and then you join the dots and you go, oh, that's great. You know, especially as a little kid, you know, like last week. No. But like in primary school, and I joined the dots, like it'll be a challenge. Before I joined the dots, I go, now what is this? And particularly when I was younger, I couldn't tell what it was, and so I just joined the dots. All you had to do is just follow the number sequence and join the dots, and you look back and you go, oh, wow, I didn't see that. And there it was. When I got in my early 20s, it was easy. It was like, oh, I can tell that. I don't need to join the dots. But here, Jesus is saying, haven't you joined the dots? He's telling them, he's warning them to watch out for the leaving of the Pharisees. And they're going, oh, it's because we brought no bread. You didn't bring bread. I remembered. I got the loaf. And they're arguing amongst themselves. In fact, that's the same word, sunni aimi, that's used in Mark chapter 6 in verse 52, where it says, for they had not understood, or they had not considered the miracle of the loaves. They hadn't joined the dots about the significance of feeding the 5,000. And here Jesus is rebuking. That's another symptom of a hardened heart, is where you're failing to join the dots, you're failing to perceive. Verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And we've talked about that. A hardened heart is a heart that's unable to see what God's doing, unable to hear the voice of God. God wants you to hear his voice. In fact, if you're born again, you can hear his voice. Let me show you something. Have a look at Mark chapter 10. John chapter 10. Mark, not Mark. John chapter 10. And we're reading from verse 27, I think. Verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I have given them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I remember one time years ago, I was really frustrated because I was seeking God for direction, and it just felt like heaven was silent. And I said, God, why don't you talk to me? Give me a word. You know I'll do what you tell me to do. Just say something. And I really fell in my heart to go to John chapter 10, verse 27. And I read it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I knew God was saying, you're my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I said, yeah, I know you said my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But I can't hear what you're saying. I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, read it again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yeah, I know. I know your sheep hear your voice, but I can't hear what you're saying. And it was like he was saying to me, read it again. So I read it again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yeah, I know that's what you said, but I can't hear. What's wrong with that picture? I'm calling God a liar. Is his word the truth? Is it? Yeah, it is. His word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What he speaks is truth. If I'm not experiencing it, then I'm experiencing a lie. I'm not experiencing truth. And the reason we fail to receive in so many areas is because we put more emphasis on what we're feeling and what we're experiencing rather than what God says. Finally, I got it. You know, probably it took me about 15, 20 minutes. I kept arguing, and then I realized, oh, hey, I'm one of your sheep. I hear your voice. You know me. I follow you. Yeah. And I began to get in line with the program. See, don't say what you've got. Start saying what he says. Start putting that in your mouth. Start storing that in your heart. And then what you've got will change and line up with what he says. If you keep complaining about what you've got because it's so out of line of with what God has said, you're just going to keep what you've got. Oh, my family's just so terrible. It's just so disintegrated. Nothing's ever going to happen. And guess what? That's what you've got and that's what you're going to keep. Oh, my body is just aching all over. Nothing ever works for me. I've prayed for this so many times. Never works when I pray. That's what you've got and that's what you're going to keep. At some point, we're going to have to start getting along. And that's what God was speaking to me. See, you can hear the voice of God. Because you're one of his sheep if you're born again. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say, my sheep may hear my voice. He didn't say, if they're good sheep, they'll hear my voice. If they behave themselves. If they tithe every week. If they go to church. If they read their Bibles. My sheep hear my voice. There are things you can do to hear his voice better. You know, if you're not reading his word on a regular basis, you're not developing a sensitive heart. Because whatever you consider, you become sensitive to. Whatever you neglect, you become hardened to. If you're not spending time considering the things of God, well, then you're not developing a sensitive heart. But you can hear his voice. And that was that. I marked that in my life as a major shift in terms of my ability to hear from God and know what he was saying to me. I started getting in line with what he said rather than with what I was experiencing. Up to that time, I was just complaining. God, you never talk to me. Why don't you just say something? And I stopped that. And from that time, I just said, Lord, I just thank you. I hear your voice. I'm one of your sheep. You know me. I follow you. You know my heart. Thank you, Lord. I hear your voice. Hallelujah. So a symptom of a hardened heart is someone who cannot see. Jesus said, having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Everyone say remember. Remember. Forgetfulness is a symptom of a hardened heart. And we see this with the disciples so many times. They didn't remember the miracle of the loaves in both cases. They were so forgetful because they had a hardened heart. They'd forgotten the lesson they should have learned. When they fed the 5,000, they forgot the lesson they should have learned when they fed the 4,000. And now when they're crossing the lake, they forgot the lesson. And they began arguing about who forgot bread instead of listening to what Jesus was saying. You know, a person with a hardened heart quickly forgets the things that God has done for them, hey? They forget the answers to prayer they've had, times when they were protected from danger or disaster, provisions that God has brought their way, promotions or blessings, even out of the blue. When you've got a hardened heart, you find it difficult to recognize what God's done for you. We don't want to be a forgetful people, is that right? The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If you're forgetful, you're going to develop a hardened heart. Goal. We've got to continually stir ourselves up by way of remembrance, say, and be thankful for the things. You know, a hardened heart is also problem-focused, hey? They only see obstacles instead of a way through. Instead of looking for answers, you just see problems. You're a glass, half-empty sort of person. That's what the disciples had become, hey, because of a hardened heart. Let me read you some of the things that they said. We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to give them something to eat. How are we supposed to find enough food to feed them out here in the wilderness? When you've got a hardened heart, you're just so focused on problems, the demand looks far greater than the supply. Cannot see how you can possibly get through this. Everything looks too hard. Do you know why people struggle with ministering healing? Because they're more sensitive to the problem than they are to the answer. They're thinking, oh, you know, that sometimes God will stir you up to go and minister to someone. I know because this used to happen to me a lot. It doesn't happen to me that much now, but it used to happen to me a lot. When I would sense in my heart that I should go and minister to this person, I saw that they weren't well or something, the first thing that would come to my mind is, what if nothing happens? Then I'm going to look like an idiot. I'll just stay here, eh? If God really wants me to minister to them, then they can come to me and say, I think God wants you to minister to me. If they do that, then I'll minister. Never ever happened. Until I finally began to get more sensitive to what God was saying rather than what other people were thinking. You know, you can get so tuned in. Oh, I'm on a bus now, you know, like, oh, I don't want to. People are going to look at me like it's weird. You know, there have been times where I've just completely forgotten, you know, this is, I don't catch the bus anymore, but this is years ago, and I would just engage in conversation, and it's like half the bus would want to listen to it. I'd just start talking to someone, and we'd just start talking, and somehow we'd get the conversation to spiritual things and just chatting away. Oh, and there were many times, I remember one time, there were two girls sitting in front, and they turned around and they said, can we listen to what you guys are saying? Because it just sounds really interesting. And other people are listening as well. People are hungry, hey. They're hungry for something real. They're hungry, and they know that deep within everybody there's that fingerprint of God that's already there. And when you begin to speak the truth, there's something deep inside that's just rising up within them. But when you have a hardened heart, it just looks too difficult. You're so problem-focused, you're too timid to move out and do anything. Now, I'm not telling you to go rush off and lay hands on everyone you see, hey? But start meditating on being more God-focused. Start allowing that to grow in your life. Start thinking about healings and picture yourself in Jesus' position. When he's healing people, see yourself doing that. Because Jesus said, the things that I've done, you can do also. So when you read the stories about Jesus, instead of you being the person afflicted where Jesus comes and puts his hand on you, see yourself as Jesus. That you're the one commanding Lazarus to rise up. You're the one laying hands on the sick. You're the one who's got the food and is going to multiply it. And soon you become sensitive to that and less sensitive to the opinions of others. And soon it's easy then for you to move out. Start dreaming with God about partnering with him, hey, to see your friends and your family impacted. I just want to finish with a couple of stories, and then we're gonna wrap up. Hey, I remember Joyce's son and his Mark and his partner when they came up, and they weren't Christians, but they were coming to move up here, and we were so excited because we just knew they were gonna become born again. We were going to share with them and they were just going to come to Christ, hey? And what we didn't know is down in Melbourne, their friends and family were saying, oh, you better watch out. That Les and Joy, they're them born again people, you know? They're going to Bible bash you. You better watch out. You probably end up becoming born again yourself. And they were going, oh, we're never going to do that. No way. You know, like, we're just going to stay with them a little bit, but then we're going to find our own place and We're just gonna do what God. They weren't saying that. We were saying that, but they were just saying, no, we're not gonna listen to what they have to say. We didn't know that that's what was happening, but we were praying. We were praying and preparing our hearts, and we talked about like how we're gonna share with them, what's gonna happen, and we just decided we're not gonna try to force the issue, but we're not gonna hide the issue. We're just gonna act just like they weren't around, and if we would normally talk about Jesus, we will. If we wouldn't normally talk about Jesus, we won't. And so they came and they stayed with us, and they were so impacted by the things of God. We didn't even realize they were being impacted. We were just being ourselves, just doing the normal thing. And within a couple of weeks, they both came to Christ. But what happened was a few days before they came to Christ, they were on their way to the pub, the Holland Park pub. It was up on top of Holland Park Hill. They were walking up to go and have their counter meal as there was their custom. And they were walking up. And Janice said to Mark, she said, man, every time your mum and Les talk, there's just like an aura that's around them. And Mark stopped and looked at her and he goes, you see it too. I thought I was the only one. And God was just, he was just ministering to them, and we didn't even realize it, but our hearts were sensitive to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And so it wasn't, you know, within a few days, they both came to Christ, hey? You want to develop a sensitive heart to the Lord. And a big key in that is the things that you consider and the things you neglect. You can't continue to neglect the things of God and then wonder why you fail to receive from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand up. We'll leave that. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, hey, because I believe you want to be people that have that are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, hey. Joy and I are believing for people in our church to move in the gifts of the Spirit, hey, and to see that flow. And then, you know, this is the place you practice that. So that then you can go on the streets and in your workplace and in your neighborhood, and just because you know how to practice it, you've been practicing at a church, and then you can flow in it, hey, in your workplace, in your situation, in your family, and so on. So I want you to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I'm a doer of your word, and not just a hearer. I choose this day to sensitize myself to you and your kingdom and your word and the leading of your Holy Spirit. I choose to be a doer of your word. I am one of your sheep, and I hear your voice, and you know me, and I follow you. I don't barely hear your voice. I hear your voice. And I'm a doer of your word. As I hear, I obey. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to get into reasoning. I'm just going to obey the things that I hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.